If you have a Bible, you might want to turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. I took the title from the King James version of the Bible, where it said, "Thy seed and her seed." I'll explain that as we get into the text here in just a moment. But Genesis chapter 3, let me break in at verse 14 so that it makes sense to you. Disaster has befallen the human race. The serpent had deceived Adam and Eve. Sin had entered the world. Darkness, rebellion, pain, sickness, everything was different. All of God's original plan aborted by the workings of Satan. And so verse 14, the Lord declares something about how he feels about the destruction and the rebellion and the disobedience that has occurred and the great corruption of the world. Verse 14, the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between," here it is, "your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Would you bow with me again? Lord, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will make truth real here today. And I pray for some of those, Lord, here today who will mix the word with faith, that they would receive a 30-fold return, and maybe some a 60-fold. And Lord, maybe there'll be somebody here today that will go home with 12 baskets full, 100-proof return on the Word of God. So we just want to open our hearts to you, Lord. Open our minds, give us understanding, and make it real. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we have a different aspect of the curse that comes from Adam's rebellion. God says to Satan, who used the serpent, he said, you think that you've destroyed what I have started. But he said, I want you to know your destruction is already underway. The seed here is considered personal. This is the power of it. It's between, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. What's all that about? Well, it's personal. The one who is promised here is a person. A person is coming. That was the Lord's response. A person shall bruise Satan's head, and in doing so, will be wounded. And I thought of the seed of the woman. Her offspring, your offspring. How is that? How does that happen? The seed of the woman, does this suggest perhaps a virgin birth? I mulled over that all week long. Doesn't the male have the seed? Isn't that how we understand things like that? I think so. Does it suggest that when the Messiah was born, he would be the seed of the woman? And that in his conception, there would be no male seed. That could well be. This is the wonder of this. The wonder. Does that suggest a virgin birth? Right from Genesis chapter 3, that his birth would be supernatural. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Again, I was rejoicing in the things of the Lord over this issue, and I hope that I could be able to say something that would make us think long and hard about the death of Jesus, especially here on Communion Sunday. So Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death, right, through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death. you shall bruise his heel, he'll bruise your head. I think there's a reference to this. Has the power, which is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Here's an indication that Jesus fulfilled the promise in Genesis 3:15, that he said he's come to destroy the devil. And thus, it's prophesied over Satan. You will be destroyed. It's going to happen to you. For it is the Messiah who is to be bruised, killed. It cost him his life. And yet in the bruising, he would destroy the power of death and the devil. It's funny how the Lord is never stuck for something. He's always ahead of everything. And here, just moments after the rebellion, there's a prophecy. And then, of course, Hebrews suggests that. Notice Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13. Just go back a bit. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. The children. Children. Oh, wow, isn't that a strange statement? The chief thrust is undoubtedly on the substitutionary aspect of Jesus' death. Yet it also reminds us of something. And if you'll just flip over, I'm going to come back to Hebrews chapter 2 in a moment. But Isaiah chapter 53 is again a wonderful, here we are, Isaiah 53. I think the promise to us all here is that God has got a plan, always has a plan, and he's never stuck. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it was the will of him to crush him. Thou shalt crush his heel. He shall crush your head. It was the Lord. It was the will of the Lord to crush him who has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. Children. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Note again, he shall see his seed, his offspring. What does that say? What is that suggesting? That it is in this sense, therefore, that God has given Jesus children. That's the promise. He said, "You're going to bruise his heel, going to cost him his life, but he said he will rise again to see his children." What an interesting passage. And so if you look at Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16 is, again, it picks up on the same thing that I'm just referring to here. Romans 16. And verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush. Oh, there it is again. He will crush your heel, thou shalt crush his head. And so the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. How powerful is that? When is that going to happen? When Christ returns. When Christ returns, there's going to be a mighty crushing. That we're not to worry about these things. He said, the God of peace will soon. All the things will be made right. And the Lord will crush Satan. You will see that. So we find that indeed, Christ is the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. Yet from his unique redemptive work, he has a seed which shall stand against the seed of Satan. He says, the children that I have given you. Who is that? That's us. We're the gift to the Lord Jesus. In what? In bringing many sons to glory. He said, you have brought destruction on this couple, Adam and Eve, and caused sin, death, by the way, sickness, and cancer. And now all the things that go with that. He says, you caused that. But he said, I'm telling you now. And so Jesus prophesied over Satan and said, you will be crushed by the children of the one you tried to crush. For who is it who puts their foot on the neck of the enemy? It is the church of Jesus. We come riding back with the Lord on that white stallion to crush the enemy. But wow. Oh, there's so many things ahead. There's so much happening presently. Right? All these things that soon. He says, soon this will happen. And we say, amen, amen, amen. And we will stand against the seed of Satan. Now, there are not few, but tens and twenties and thirties and 50 million and 100 million and a billion people who have yielded themselves to the Lord, who've been born again of the Spirit of God, and a mighty army raised up by the Lord, what? To crush the enemy. To crush the enemy. The death of Jesus, the weakness of Jesus, the sadness of Jesus in his death, the sufferings of Jesus, is that it pleased the Lord to bruise him in order that Satan will be bruised by his offspring. And I don't fully understand it all, but I got enough of it that it keeps me going just about forever. That, oh, there are things that we're going to be involved in that will make your mind spin. What we do today is important. How we live for the Lord is important. We are going to be around for the crushing of the enemy. And how powerful that would be. I want you to notice something, though, out of Genesis. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. This is Eve and Adam. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed, as a response of seeing their nakedness. This is the context. And they knew that they were naked, and they, because they were naked, sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Afraid. They try to cover themselves because you see your faults and your sin and your rebellion. They cover themselves with coats of skin. And I made a little note here. Probably this was the first animals to ever die. Why? Because the Lord, seeing them trying to cover themselves by themselves, God says, I'm going to give you a different covering. So God took away their covering, the leaves, the fig leaves, and gave them a coat of skins. Well, we know then, because God didn't skin some animal, it had to die first, right? It died, and probably this was the first animals to die. And it tells us that men and women cannot stand before God in their own covering. There can be no self-made religion. We add nothing to the Lord's work. There's nothing that we do on our part, some kind of merit that we earn. Not whatsoever. We cannot stand before God in our own strength, in our own abilities, in our own covering. My point is the whole world, the entire religious world, sews together fig leaves. They're of your own making. That I'll do this and this and this and this, and I will sow those leaves and those leaves and those leaves, and in my so doing, I'll be acceptable before some deity. Not so. We need a covering from God. When we stood here today singing and praising the Lord and coming to the communion table, we are simply saying, not by our merit, not by our efforts, but by somebody else who did something for us that we could be forever covered, our sins could be covered and washed away. It's a wonderful, it's a powerful thing, but we can't stand in our own. Away with your fig leaves. As you come in with something you have done that perhaps God will now accept you. Oh, no, it can't be that way. And so God takes away what they did and provides animal skins so that God covers them. And that is a very, very powerful thought. I wrote here, rather, Adam and Eve needed a covering from God, a covering that required sacrifice and death. Sacrifice and death. A covering not provided by mankind, No, not at all, but by God. What shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I come empty. We come with nothing. And God says, I declare you righteous. I declare you justified in my sight because you have believed what my Son has done for you on Calvary's cross. So this was probably the beginning of the Old Testament sacrificial system. I don't doubt it was not just the first animals that died, but the beginning of the Old Testament sacrificial system. So the death of Jesus was not an afterthought in history. I hear people kind of telling it like this. Well, God made the world and Satan messed it up. And then God was perplexed. He didn't know what to do. So what shall I do about this? And what shall I do about this? And then suddenly the death of Jesus kind of dawned. Oh, I know what I can do. I can send my Son. That'll be what I'll do. No, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, it makes it quite clear that that is not the case. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. I think that just a second, let me just get this. Am I not reading that right? Verse 18, lost it here. Now, here we are. Verse 8, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Jesus, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And here it is, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake. What's he telling us in this? He's saying that this wasn't an afterthought in history, a tack on where God says, now I got to come up with something because man sinned. It was already in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, before the world was created, before sin had come into it, before Adam and Eve were even part of it. It was already done before the foundation of the world. Thus, the death of Jesus in space and in time planned before history began the salvation of man's rebellion. I thought, oh, dear God, imagine that. Instead of planning judgment, he plans the salvation. And so it's a wonderful promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He said, you have done your worst. Now I will do my best. And out of that, you see, I believe that more has been accomplished because of Jesus, because of what Satan did. God now is going to make something even greater, something even better. And again, I wrote here, already we have the death of Jesus in promise, the first promise made immediately after the rebellion and the fall. And so we come to Genesis 3:15. We see that except for Christ, his work still wasn't done at that point, that the covenant of works is past. And from this time on, the covenant of grace applies. And we see that even in Cain and Abel and their offerings that they brought, that from here to the last man who will ever pass from death to life, man no longer can come in his own works. No longer come in his own works. And if I put it in first person singular, I cannot no longer come by my own works, but I can only come on the basis of the covenant of grace, the benefits of which I now receive as a free gift. I cannot sow fig leaves to make myself righteous. It is not a matter of coming to church and reading my Bible and witnessing of my faith. There's an important aspect to that in our lives, but not for our acceptance before God. God does not accept us on that basis. He accepts us by what he has done for us. And that's why people struggle and say, well, why? I've been a good person. I was sang in the choir. My uncle donated the offering plates. You know, I read the Bible 4 times. And all these things are fig leaves. And God says, that's not going to cover you. I will cover you. And so as those animals were sacrificed, the Lamb of God comes as the ultimate sacrifice and gives us life for us and dies for us. And now there is only one way to come. And that's through the covenant of grace. That somebody that we have to accept that we were not good enough, despite how good you might have been. And some people are better than others. I think we all recognize that. But it doesn't matter whether you're Mother Teresa or whether you are a son of Sam, the serial killer. It doesn't matter. Mother Teresa reached, if the ceiling is as high as you can go, Mother Teresa reached as high as you can go. Let's say she got 90%. And son of Sam, well, he doesn't even get, he's down here. The point of it is, the passing mark was 100. And it didn't matter whether you got 80 or 0. You fall, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody fell short. And thus we're all condemned. So God provides, knowing that our very best is as filthy rags in his sight, he provides something for us. And so many benefits came out of all of these things that God has done for us. And how we praise him for our so great a salvation. I find that the older I get and the more that I minister, the more that I can see how inconsequential of what we do is and how absolutely important everything is about the Lord and what he has done. And that's our basis. And your religion will kill you. You will be tired of sowing fig leaves, trying to cover yourself and be better, rather than just rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he has done and what he has accomplished. And it's not by my own works, but by his works absolutely alone. And we praise him and we thank him. And I'm grateful for the crushing of the enemy. You see, the work's already started. It is not completed. He says, Satan will soon be crushed under my feet. And I will be a part of that. And I'm glad that he was able to say to Satan himself, to say, Satan, listen up. You did something that crushed my son's heel. But I'm going to do something that's going to completely crush your entire work. And thus we stand in awe and say it was a prophecy in chapter 3 when the Bible begins. So it's not some tack on that we say, oh, I'm sure glad that Jesus came. It's all part of the plan. And God will be glorified. And I don't know how that's going to be. When I see things where it looks like the enemy is wanting to say, your head is crushed. I wonder if maybe he's not annihilated yet, but he is defeated. Satan has been defeated. He's brain dead in that sense. His head has been crushed. And what we're involved in is a major operation where we are waiting for the coming of Christ to crush him completely. But there will be a crushing. My point, the crushing was prophesied in chapter 3, verse 15. And in Romans 16, it's prophesied again. It's going to happen. And it will be to the Lord's delight and to our great praise that we are the children, that we're the offspring. He said, he shall see his offspring. And the power of that, the wonder of that, the joy of that. As I was mulling that, I thought, I wish I was in a smaller Bible study that we could talk about this. But I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to open the floor. When you heard this morning, what additional thought did God give you? I can't take many, but I'll just take a couple. I marveled all week long, and I said, oh, Lord, thy seed, right, and his seed. The seed of the woman will crush him. Thank you. And then I thought of all different things about the sacrifice and the covering of. But when you were hearing me this morning, what thought came to you? And don't worry if there isn't any. We'll move on. Read it for us, Dave. Okay. That's your text for your... Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? too early in the morning, right? I had this brilliant thought, but it passed away. It passed away. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to have, I don't think the young adults are just back just yet, but as today is Communion Sunday, as we talk about the crushing of the enemy, about the seed of the woman, the seed of Christ, it requires a response. It requires that we yield to the Lord. And the prayer teams will be ready to roll, I think, this morning. But if you're here today and you need a special touch, we want you to come. The prayer team can go over there even now if they'd like to just be waiting. You're here today and you need the touch of the Lord upon your life. Just invite you to come. For the rest of us, yeah, Rex is going to come to the piano. Thank you, Rex. Just as we respond to the Lord here today, we have lots of time. I was thinking of communion. I said, well, I better not go too long because we've got communion. No, we've got lots of time, which is good. But bow your heart with me. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are the seed of the woman. We thank you for the implications here of your virgin birth. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice and your death. You've done a glorious thing. Glorious thing. Lord, we don't know all about the seed of Satan, but we do know the seed of the woman. And we even say, by the power of Jesus, we say to the evil one, you will be crushed. We thank you, Lord. All the works of darkness. Lord, we thank you for the glorious earth you're going to recreate in your second coming. Lord, we pray that we will be as the seed, as the children of the Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you for that prophecy that Jesus would see his offspring, that you're alive, that you rose from the dead, and you are the mighty conqueror. And you knew that we would come to you, that when you laid your life down, when you shed your blood, when you were bruised for us, it pleased the Lord to bruise you, that you might die for all of our sin. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for ripping away our fig leaves and for clothing us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are completely acceptable in your sight. Oh, how we thank you. We thank you for the death of Jesus. And we thank you for the rising of Jesus. And Lord, that you would see that church established. It would be your church made up of your children. Oh, how we praise you. How we praise you. Lord, we know that we cannot come on any other basis at any time except by the shed blood. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for your powerful name. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes we think that the enemy must be winning. The darkness seems to be getting darker. And Lord, it will get darker before the dawn. But the dawn is coming. The dawn is coming. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to press in this morning. We want to press into you. We want to yield our lives to you. Hallelujah. 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 And Lord, I thank you that I'm going to be part of the crushing of the seed of the devil. Lord, that we're going to judge angels. Just don't you know? Just don't you know? You need to get along together because someday you're going to crush. You're going to judge angels. Lord, we can't even imagine all of that, but we're thankful. We're so thankful. Lord, I pray that we'll not be discouraged, but that we'll be rejoicing right till you come. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you. We love you. God, we don't want to be found not diligent, but as one who will be involved in the crushing of the enemy. I want to yield myself to you. I want to surrender myself to you. I want to be found doing, watching, waiting. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm important to your plan. And everybody here who knows you and loves you, we're important to your plan. We're the seed of the woman. We're the offspring of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, the great delight you have in bringing many sons to glory. All of this was done. Your bruising, your crushing, it pleased the Father. Oh, thank you. But Lord, it was for our salvation. And we love you. And we praise you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 If you feel like raising your hands, just raise your hands to the Lord. Glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. To Jesus be the glory. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Father, I pray as those that come who have a need, physical need, or a financial need, or relational need, or some family need this morning as they come for prayer. We say, Lord, Spirit of God, come in might and power, that as these folks lay their hands upon those that are sick, those that are ill, we pray, Lord, let healing flow here this morning. Thank you, God, as we've honored you at the communion table, let healing flow here, for by your stripes we are healed. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you have a need this morning, just come. And these folks will pray with you and agree with you. If they need some more, we'll get a few more prayer people to come. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on the patio.